All right. Well, I just want to talk to you a minute. And I'm going to call it, just write this down. It's the title. Don't blame Christmas. Just don't be blaming Christmas for any of your stuff. Sunday, I brought the joy of Christmas and how much I love Christmas and the lights and comparing, running these parallels, you know, that all truths run parallel, and ran some scenarios and symbolic things about the Christmas tree and the star, of course, and the ornaments and the gifts and the tree. And so we went along that line, and I loved it. I thought it was good, and I spent a couple nights right in the middle of the night putting that one together. But on the other hand, as Christmas approaches, now, for instance, Kathy, I really try to be balanced, you guys. I really do. I try to stay balanced in my messages. But I understand that Kathy's over there at Kauai Delta with a son that's given a 50-50 chance and doesn't look good. And Miss Kathy here just said goodbye to Mama last week. Okay, so that makes Christmas a little odd. And I said goodbye to my Rick and Jamie November 9th. And I remember my first Christmas without them, our first Christmas without them. And, you know, there's just things that come and go. And then Judy, my sister, most of you know Judy. My family had all been over. There was about 40 or 50 of them to my house on Christmas Eve, as it always is. And there they were. And I was saying goodbye to the last of the family as they were leaving. And I got a call from David, my son-in-law. He was on duty that night, and Sarah and I kind of fussed because he had to, you know, work on Christmas Eve when we just hated that for the little one's sake, of course, and for hers. But thank God he was there, and then we just gave God praise because he called me on Christmas Eve night. It was about, oh, maybe 8:30. The last person was leaving, last of the family. And he says, just wanted you to know that we're called over to the Sinclair home. They say there's a lady there that's unresponsive. Well, I knew it was her because she had so many issues. And then he called me back in just a few minutes. I mean, not even 10 minutes. He said, she didn't make it. She just didn't make it. It was unbelievable. Your sister who's walking, talking, moving around, I think probably it was her heart, but so that was Christmas. Now her son, and I'm saying all this for a cause, because one of the boys, you know, he had a wife and two children, but he didn't want that to destroy and mess up his Christmas forever. So he had to make a choice to be strong for the kids' sake, and he continued to come. Every Christmas Eve, he keeps coming back. He'll be there this Christmas Eve. But the other one, and of course, the other one didn't have much to do with her sometimes, you know. He'd kind of stay away. So I don't know if that makes a difference or what. But anyway, he couldn't deal with it, and he has never, ever been back to Christmas. He doesn't want to celebrate it. He doesn't want to have any fun. He doesn't want to do anything at Christmas. And so it hurts his family. And so I understand that there's things like that that happens, but I'll say this about him. He's not a Christian. And yet, a lot of Christians sometimes feel the same way. And, you know, Casey, you said goodbye to your mom. This will be your first Christmas without her, Tank. Dad's got there with stage four. It's just, you know, it gets kind of crazy. But I want to tell you this. I want to comfort your hearts with this for some of you that are in a place that is not so good this Christmas. You know what? Whether it's Christmas or not, it would happen anyway. You know, it could have happened for my family in January or March or any of those months. I'm not going to blame the season because my husband and daughter, even though it was an awkward Christmas without them, but I knew that Jesus, the old saying is Jesus was the reason for the season. He was it. And you know what? He was my anchor, my husband's anchor, my family's anchor, and he's your anchor, Kathy. He's your anchor. That's how you'll just go on with your family, Casey, and have Christmas this year because Jesus is your anchor. And you know, it's all about him. As much as we loved our loved ones, it's not about them. It's about him. So I just want to say, you know, a man said to me the other day, he said, it just seems like everything gets worse at Christmas. And, you know, I didn't want to say anything. I know what he meant. I said, I know there's, you know, there's memories and there's things, but you know what? And he wasn't a believer, so it's really difficult to encourage and say, you know, but be strong for the kids. Be strong for your family. And don't let that take you down, because it could have happened at any time. You know, it wasn't Christmas's fault, certainly not, because Jesus is Christmas. He's Christmas. He's just it. So, of course, if it happens at Christmas, it does seem a little sadder, but it would be sad anyway, amen? So, I want to ask you, you know, who wants us to blame Christmas? Well, you really don't want to inside, and Jesus and God, they surely don't want you to blame him. So who wants you to blame Christmas for the hard times or the sad thoughts or the memories? Who wants you to blame him or blame Christmas? Oh, it would be the devil for sure. It would be our adversary. He just wants to put a wedge in front of this beautiful season. And you know good and well, when you walk out there, there's a certain amount of peace and joy. I was telling my kids about it today. I said, kids, you may feel this and you may feel that. We were driving in the car the other day, and Elvis Presley came on. I have it on Christmas music, and Elvis came on saying, and I'll have a blue Christmas without you. And Ainsley goes, Nana, that song just sounds sad to me. I said, it is sad, baby. Let's just turn it. So you know what? Don't sit there and listen to a sad song. It makes you cry. My cousin, she used to love country music, and she said, oh, some of those old country songs are so lonesome. She said, I'll just sit there and listen to those and cry. I said, well, don't listen to it. Gosh, people can be funny, can't they? So we're not going to blame him or Christmas, because guess what? He gave us Emmanuel. Husband, wife, mama, daddy, the baby, they may not be with you, but Jesus, Emmanuel, is with us. Amen. He's in us, and he gives us the strength. You know where Kathy Lewis has been this week? I said, Kathy, I'll come over and see Keith today. Are you going to be there? Are you kind of staying there? No. She said, I've got to teach class. She's down at Fresno teaching class every day. I'm like, what? She's over there teaching class. She goes, there's nothing I can do. He's in the hands of God. So she goes, I go for a little bit in the evening and take my granddaughter over to see him, and but you know why she can do that? Because she's anchored, and Emmanuel's in her. Emmanuel, if he's anything to us at this season, he's Emmanuel. So you know, I just wanted to tell you to just put on Christmas, and I just prayed as I was praying for the wealth to come. I'm seeking, remember I told you, I'm seeking your wealth for your emotions, the wealth of your emotions, the wealth of your healing, the wealth of everything that pertains to you. And today I was seeking for Landmark people, your wealth of joy, Christmas love, Christmas touch, Christmas giving. And if you're into Molly Grubbs and you don't know how to get out, you say, I don't want to go to Christmas dinner. I don't want to do this. I don't even want to go out of my house. You need to just get out of your house. And you know what? If you've got a dollar, you need to go buy somebody something with it. Just go to the dollar store. You can get something. Or cook some food or a little bag of cookies and do something for somebody else. Instead of just sitting there feeling sorry for you, you can just cry your eyes out feeling sorry for you, and somebody else would be really encouraged. And you know good and well, if we encourage people when we're down, what does it do to us? Makes us feel so much better to do it. So I'm just saying, don't let Satan steal one piece, not one piece of your Christmas this year, not an ounce of your literal peace, not an ounce of your joy, because you know what? If you let him in the door and you start having all those memories or feeling sad or this, that, or the other, guess what's going to happen? He doesn't play. He wants it all. He doesn't want a little piece. If you open the door, he'll take it all. And then you'll wound up not enjoying this beautiful season of when Jesus was born and came to earth for us. So may the love of Christmas, church, I'm just praying that the love of Christmas will fill your heart. Now I'm going to give you one scripture, one portion of scripture, and then we'll pray. All right, put up Nehemiah. You need to write this down and then go through it later. Get you some helps and read it. Look in some commentaries, those of you that like to study. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Now listen, whether you have a house full of people at Christmas or it's nobody but you, I'm just saying let the spirit of Christmas fill up your heart. Just let it fill you up, the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of God. Hallelujah. All right. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're not going to take time to read it all because it would take us all night. But when you look back, these poor people of Israel had been in bondage for years. Okay, they just came out of Babylonian bondage. They just came out. And they're crying and they're weeping. And God is telling them to celebrate. I don't know if they're crying. They're probably crying because they're so happy. But the book of the law was being read to them, and they're just starting to cry. They're remembering when things were so much better, and now here we are, but they're free. So I want you to read with me Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So the priest starts reading this to the people. So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe of the Levites, who taught the people and said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn and don't you weep." Now remember that. Don't you mourn, don't you weep. This is a special day. I'm telling you, church, this is a special month. It's a special time. We know it's probably, it was without a doubt, not the day Jesus was born. But if we're going to celebrate our birthdays, why not celebrate his birthday somewhere along the line? So we do that. So he said, "Now this day is holy to the Lord your God, so don't mourn and weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And then he said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom have nothing prepared." Some translation says give portions to somebody else. In other words, give them a little bit of something. Take, as I just said, give them something. You go your way and you eat fat and you drink sweet and you send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. And then he says it again. Look, because God does not want us unhappy. How many of you ever seen your children cry? And it makes you so sad. You don't want your kids unhappy, especially your older ones. If they're mad at you, no, you don't want that. So he said, "Now don't you sorrow." Why? Here's the important line. For the joy of who? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Now be still. For the day is holy, and don't you be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. So I said all that to say, this is a holy day, it's a holy season, and don't you let anything or any memory. Now listen, good memories can hurt you as bad as a bad memory. You know that. Good ones can hurt you just as bad as a bad memory, but God is saying here through the prophet, I don't want you worried about anything. I just want you to enjoy coming out of bondage. You're not bound anymore. And when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he came and set us all free. He said, "I've got good news for all men, peace on earth and goodwill to all of you." So now you be still. Don't you be grieved the third time. But those last few words, in verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Why does he say that, folks? Because we don't have any. We don't have our own joy. He said, so since you don't have any, I've got some for you. And the joy of the Lord, not your friend, not your loved one that passed, not the finances you lost or whatever's happening. No, that's not your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And with that, everybody quieted down and peace came over the house. I wish this house was full tonight. Maybe I should have been bringing this on Sunday morning, but just there will be a quietness. I promise you there will be a quietness in your soul when you leave this house. Now, not everybody feels what I'm telling you tonight. When I say don't blame Christmas, I know many of you aren't. But if there's one in here that is, if I'm talking to one or two people, it'd be worth bringing this message tonight. Because God doesn't want you hurting. He doesn't want you sorrowful or upset or tangled up, messed up. So he tells these people, now look, told you Sunday morning, he wants you to have fun. He said, now I want you to go share a big meal. I want you to cook a lot of food. I want you to have a bunch of people over. You go and just make some food. If you live alone, make yourself a special meal. He said, so eat good, eat some fat, say praise the Lord. Eat some fat and drink some good soda and drink some good sweet juice or whatever you're drinking. And he said, now you just go ahead and have a good time and prepare. And if somebody else is without, well, you take them a plate of food. But I've got you covered. And then he told him, and then I want you to do one more thing. And I mentioned this briefly Sunday morning. He said, I want you to look at the middle of verse 15. Put 15 up. I'm just going to dabble right here a minute. I told you I saw this when we were in Israel. Right in the middle of verse 15, he said, because you dwelled out there in the wilderness, he says, you go out in the mountains. Do you see that right in the middle of verse 15? Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches and branches of oil trees. Oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and they brought and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house and some of the courtyards or the courts of the house of God, and the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. And then you go on, verse 17. So the whole assembly of those who returned from captivity, look what they did. They made booths, and they sat under the booths. And since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so, and there was great gladness. There was very great gladness. There was very great gladness. They made little booths. They had a bunch of good food. They had fellowship. They had a party. And you know how long it went? 7 days. They had to sleep out there in those little booths. We would see them in the backyards. Israel has a lot of flat top houses. They would build them on top just like that, out of brush and palm tree limbs, and they looked like a little hut. And they would stay there, but they were so glad, remembering, we got a house now. But there, this is where we were. Verse 18, and also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Now, you celebrate Christmas like you do. Some of you will make tamales. You do that every year. But don't you love the tradition that he's given us? These people of Israel, they had traditions, and God said, this is for you. I want you just to remember what I did. I want you to remember by having some good food and having some good drink and having people over and make yourself a little booth. And don't sleep in the house. I want you to sleep outside in that little booth for about 7 days. And then it said they were all glad in their heart, and they were still inside, and the joy of the Lord was their strength. They didn't have to worry about their own. That's what I love, Lynn. I don't have to worry about digging up my own strength or my own joy, because sometimes you just can't find it. But he said, no, I've got it for you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, Father, we're thankful tonight, and we do remember. Father, we do remember, but we're human. And Lord, I'm not getting on anyone here tonight. I'm just saying we are human. and Satan will mess with our mind. He will mess with the good things you've given to us. He will mess with our losses. He will try to mess with things and tear us up to keep us from celebrating what you gave to us years ago. You gave us Emmanuel. You gave us Jesus Christ. You gave us a Savior. You gave us a healer. You gave us a lover. You gave us a friend. You gave us everything when you gave us your only Son. So, Lord, this season, we will celebrate him and remember him, and we'll have good food and good drink and good fellowship, and we will give to others. Lord, we've already started a little here and a little there. Our church gives to many people, and, Lord, we give to people ourselves out on the streets, in the restaurants, our families. We give and give because of you, Lord. May the joy of the Lord be our strength, and may you fill us full of Christmas and your joy in Jesus' name. Amen.